Good morning, brothers and sisters. We're going to sing together hymn 34. Hymn 34. To thee I lift my soul, O Lord, I trust in thee. My God, let me not be ashamed, nor foes that triumph o'er me. Hymn 34. The next hymn I've chosen is 49. Hymn 49. Where can we hide, or whither fly, Lord, to escape thy piercing eye? With thee there is not day and night, but darkness shineth as light. Hymn 49.
Thank you.
Dear brothers and sisters, our readings from God's Word today serve as a powerful reminder of great events in the spiritual development of the modern state of Israel. We read that King Hezekiah set about reintroducing the Passover, which had not been celebrated since the time of Solomon, some 200 years, a long time, 200 years before. The people had forsaken God's feast of ordinances, which were given through Moses. A sad state. And when they came out of Egypt, the wonders that they experienced, how could they have forgotten their miraculous deliverance? The escape from the last plague, and especially when all the firstborn of Egypt died in one night. And it was only the sacrificial blood daubed on their doorposts and lintels that saved them. And that's a shadow of today, isn't it? We recognize the symbology of that act today in the wine upon the table, representing the saving blood of our Master, and who gave his life to save us from eternal death. To a faithful king like Hezekiah, he wanted to rekindle the people's worship while reminding them of not only the Passover feast, but of the need to keep God's word uppermost in their minds. It's something we all have to do. To keep it in their minds through daily instruction by the Levites who were provided for that purpose. And that had also been forgotten. And we read from Chronicles, I'll quote it in the saying, 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verse 26, "There was great joy in Jerusalem, for since the time of Solomon, the son of David, of Israel, there had been nothing like this in Jerusalem." So after 200 years, suddenly there's a bright light. Yes, it took a faithful king to remind them of God's promises made to Abraham so long ago. Those same promises are to be fulfilled through the life and sacrifice of the Lord Jesus, whom we are remembering here today. And we, like them, need this weekly reminder of our need to refresh ourselves in worship and daily study of God's word. You know as well as I do, the world demands so much of our energy and attention these days, but we've got to be on our guard against being distracted away from the teachings of our Master. Difficult though it may be, we have to stop and think, now, what am I doing? Am I really trying to do what God wills? And God in his mercy has given us this wonderful knowledge of his plan and salvation. We need to keep it bright and polished, and not rusty and dusty. Ready to tell any who will listen. We don't often get the opportunity, but we've got to be ready when we can. Now, there's one phrase that I've noticed appears in all our reading portions for today, and that is prayer to God. The importance of making our supplications to God through prayer is clearly shown in King Hezekiah's reign, for example. Just let's stop there for a minute and think. When we pray, we're not just mumbling words which have meaning but perhaps don't have any substance to them. We are trying to approach God through Jesus, the Almighty Creator. We can't imagine his greatness, his majesty, his might, his power. We see it all around us, but we can't really appreciate it. But we can only hope that through serious prayer, through Jesus, he will act on our behalf and represent us the way he should be. And after those joyous celebrations following the re-establishment of the Passover, you remember from the reading, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, made war against Jerusalem. And apart from the practical preparations against the siege, Hezekiah and the prophet Isaiah prayed. You say again, approaching God for help, and cried out to heaven. The Lord saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem from the hand of Sennacherib and from the hand of all the others and guided them to safety. It seems that during that siege, Hezekiah was sick and near to death. And Hezekiah went to him, see in Isaiah 38, and said, "Set your house in order, for you shall die and not live." Shocking thing to hear, isn't it? And Hezekiah turned his face towards the wall and prayed to the Lord. In Isaiah 38, we read, verse 5, "Go and tell Hezekiah, Thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer. I've seen your tears. Surely I will add to your days 15 years. I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. God's answer to a fervent prayer. They're just two examples of faithful, fervent prayers answered by God. In the book of Daniel, there are several other examples of prayer by him and his three companions to God. When they were threatened with execution by a ranting tyrant, Nebuchadnezzar, essentially they prayed to God that he would reveal to them the subject and meaning of Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And Daniel was to be the means of giving this. In the face of the fact that none of the king's magicians or wizards or whatever could do anything like that. And it was Daniel's intercession that saved all the magicians from being slaughtered. On a later occasion, Nebuchadnezzar, full of his own importance, built a huge image of gold. You know the reading. And demanded worship from everyone. And when Daniel's three companions would not obey, they were thrown fully clothed into the fiery furnace. But God sent his angel to deliver them from the fire because they trusted in him. Nebuchadnezzar had another dream, which Daniel, through prayer to God, was able to tell the king its interpretation. Prayer, again, you see, is fervent prayer. And when Belshazzar, the king's son, reigned, he had a frightening dream, which again Daniel, through prayer to God, was able to reveal the meaning of the dream. So there is this communication, but it has to be fervent and honest. And Daniel told the king that his kingdom was at an end and given to the Medes and Persians. Historical fact, it happened. And Daniel and his companions still had important positions even when the next king, Darius, came onto the throne. And their faith was again challenged by jealous officials who were determined to remove them from power, just jealousy and greed. And they craftily concocted a decree that made it impossible for Daniel to compromise his faith. And as a result, he was thrown into the lion's den. They were living through terrible times, weren't they? Their faith was being tested to their extreme. Their lives were in danger. But because of their faithful obedience to God, the lion's mouth was stopped and he emerged unscathed from the den. And Daniel himself had a vision by night in which he was told by the archangel Gabriel what would happen in the latter days, which is now and our future. Daniel chapter 8, verse 19. The angel said to Daniel, "Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day you set your hearts to understand and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard. And I have come because of your words or prayers." And after a detailed and lengthy explanation from Gabriel about the latter days, Daniel said, "Although I heard, I did not understand. Then I said, 'My Lord, what shall be the end of these things?' And he said, 'Go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end.'" And they are still sealed, waiting for the end. And you remember that Jesus was asked the same question by his disciples, Mark chapter 13. "But of the days and hours no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch, and pray, for you do not know when the time is." And we don't, do we? So we do need those prayers. In our last daily readings, chapter Acts 11 and 12, we're in the company of the Apostle Peter. And there are many examples of fervent prayers being made to secure Peter's safe deliverance from the prison. And time and again, the sincere and heartfelt prayers of faithful men and women have obtained God's unfailing help in time of need. And now, as we approach the emblems, we come to the terrible night before our Lord was betrayed. I'm looking from Luke chapter 22. Verse 40, "When he came to the place, he said to them, 'Pray that you may not enter into temptation.' And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And a little later, further on, verse 44, and Jesus, being in agony, as I'm sure he was, he prayed more earnestly, if that were possible, and his sweat became great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Can you imagine the concentration of one's thoughts to be able to bring that about, to sweat blood? 45, when he rose up from prayer, he came to his disciples and he found them sleeping for sorrow. Well, Jesus' fervent prayer to his Father for deliverance from the cross was not answered, because God, in his infinite wisdom, had a better blessing for his Son, prepared from the beginning of time for him. I believe the lesson for us all to realize, though we do not see the immediate response to our prayers, not always, the Almighty will answer at the appropriate time, not necessarily in the way we expect, but there is an answer and a way. So let us never cease from prayer to God while we wait for our Lord's return to take up his kingdom. For our memorial hymn, I've chosen hymn 78. 78. Jesus lives, no longer now can thy terrors death appall us. Jesus lives, by this we know thou, O grave, canst not enthrall us. Hymn 78. So we'll conclude with prayer after we've sung, by our brother Phil Dunbirch, after we've sung together hymn 100. Come, Lord, and tarry not. and bring the looked-for day, drive past these years of waiting here, which some men count delay. Hymn 100.